like to call to order the Economic Development Subcommittee of the Employee and Community Relations Committee of Sylvania City Council. It's Monday evening, May 4th, 2015, at 7:00. Present tonight are all members of council, Mr. Lutke, Ms. Capellini, Ms. Hussman, Mr. Mishka, Mr. Frye, Mr. Hanem, Ms. Westfall, Mayor Stow, members of the staff, Bill Sanford, Toby Schroyer, Kevin Aller, and Brian Buckey from The Blade. We have about a half an hour tonight to deal with a couple of issues. I tried to put the more, I did send out an email earlier with kind of a suggested agenda, tried to put some of the informational issues near the end. In case we don't get to that, we can handle those in writing after the fact. The piece that I'd like to discuss first is something that potentially will require action by the committee tonight in terms of a recommendation to council, and that is a request from the company NOIC for some signage reimbursement from the city and potentially a job creation grant. And Mr. Sanford's been honchoing this, so I'd like to ask him to give us a little bit of background.
Mark, you all step down here so I can hear everybody's backs here. Thank you. And I did send out some material to just to give some more information. NOIC had a couple things happen, and they were previously located in Starlight Plaza. In the last year, they knew they had to vacate, and I think they got out in December. At that time, they contacted our office. One of the things they were looking for help was with their signage with their new location. Last year, we had an incentive program for companies as part of really a beautification to go away from some of the pole signs that we have on our main streets and offered up to $5,000 reimbursement for companies. We didn't get a lot of interest in that. Turns out that the pole signs are very attractive for the companies want to hold on to those as long as they can, which I understand one point of why they like to do that. NOIC, though, that we were talked to them about that because they would need new signage on a monument sign at their new location, and thought it was inappropriate, just that it was going to happen probably in 2015. So then they followed up with the paperwork and are asking for reimbursement of their sign, which I believe was $2,958.51, which met the criteria we had set for the sign program. And then the at the same time, they talked about the job creation grant and were inquiring if they would grow their company, was there a chance that they could be eligible. I told them there, the way that our program is written, that if you have a $500,000 increase from an existing company, I think job creation grants, we think of new companies coming to the area, like an interrupt marketing, which we did, and we had a job creation grant for them when they moved into the community. That's a little bit easier because they have a number of jobs, they project payroll. This is an existing payroll. And we verified what their payroll was in 2014. It was $4,114,180. That was their payroll in 2014. If they increased their payroll by $500,000 in 2015, they would be eligible for the grant. If they do not raise it by $500,000, they would not be eligible. So they filled out the application. Administration is support of this because it's a growth. If they do this, that's a great thing. If they're you know, add jobs and add the payroll. So that's our we're administration and I am in support of this application. I just wanted to see if you had any questions about that. Toby has a comment.
I think it would be important to note that the job creation grant is only on the additional payroll, not the initial.
That's correct. It's not on the whole amount. It would only be on the $500,000, which I should have added in the grant. The way our grant is written, it would mean a $2,500 payment to them after it's verified. And that sometimes like March of the next year, when we find out, and Toby would verify their payroll amount for 2015, and then they would be eligible for the $2,500 grant.
And Bill, when you say payroll, are you talking about payroll in the city of Sylvania?
Correct. It goes through our office, our income tax office. That's how we verify it.
Any other questions?
Do you need a motion to...
Yeah, my understanding, Mr. Mayor, is that the council needs to act on this later. Is that correct? So if we're in favor of it, we need a motion to recommend to council approval.
I would move to recommend to council approval of this economic development grant.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Hanem, seconded by Ms. Westfall. Committee members, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, no. That's approved. And we'll forward that on to council later this evening. Thanks. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Have we, about the sign promotion, have we let people know about that, or are we actually actively approaching?
We did that in 2014, and I had a lot of conversations, but it's not in effect this year. It's not part of our budget for 2015.
Okay.
But right. In 2014, I personally contacted companies up and along the main streets and sat down and talked with them about it.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll hang around. I know some other points.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Hussman brought it to my attention that Mr. Hanem is not a member of the committee.
Well, actually, he's not a member of the Human Resources and Community Relations Committee, but by custom, I think. The chairs of the Zoning and Planning Commission and Zoning and Planning Committee and Finance Committee serve on the subcommittee.
Correct. When we formed the subcommittee, we had everybody on.
Right. Okay. It had the net effect of that happening.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, second item. We heard from Mr. Aller perhaps 6 weeks ago about the downtown tree situation. This is an economic development issue from the standpoint that our downtown merchants are acutely interested in the status of downtown trees, both for and against. And I think at the time, Mr. Aller indicated that because of the weather conditions at the time, it was pretty hard to tell what trees were going to be affected by any kind of potential removal. So it's now spring. So he's back. Mr. Aller.
Thank you. We have taken a look at the trees downtown. If you've been down through Main Street, I'm sure you've seen some of the more obvious trees. But we have identified six trees that, without question, we believe are damaged or aged to the point where recuperation is not going to be possible. So three of them have virtually no buds on them whatsoever. Three of them are at best half budded and the rest is empty. So we have six trees that we will definitely be taking down. There is a possibility, probably a strong possibility, that we'll take an additional two or so down to try to balance things out. Because if you take a look at where those six are located, which obviously you're not aware of at this point, but if you take a look on the downtown map, it leaves a heavy tree area on one side of the street, and then we're kind of thinning it out on the other side of the street. So we are taking a look at taking probably a total of eight trees along Main Street down. Our process of taking them down will be to cut them down and grind the stumps down to below the grates and leave the grates remaining. We were taking a look at the process of trying to basically trim all the top part off. There's equipment that you can latch onto the trunk that's left and then attempt to pull that straight up. I am not comfortable in doing that. The more that I look at the trees, I think we will rip all kinds of sidewalk, curb, street, you name it. I just think the trees are old enough that the root system is such that we will do a lot of damage in trying to use that process. So it will be a cut off down low, grind the stump down to where we can get it down below the grate. And then we're taking a look at planters nice-looking planters to place periodically. I'm not saying that all six that we take down will have planters replaced, that's not the plan, but we are taking a look at putting some planters in to try to fill in some of that area. Unfortunately, on the two of the trees on the east side of the street, as soon as you come off of the Monroe Street, the two first two trees that you come to right by the Key Bank and J.D. Arm building, those are two of the ones that have to come out. So we talked about maybe we'll get lucky and it'll be every other tree. We didn't get lucky. So we'll have to do some filling in and some work to try to keep things beautified and that kind of stuff. Our Parks Department, as you know, does a fantastic job with our flowers and the appearance of the city. So we'll do everything we can to keep it looking in a nice manner that people still enjoy. So,
if I could add to Kevin's description, and you alluded to it, Mark, there are people for the trees and people against the trees. They have been there for 25 or 30 years. They've been very large and trimmed many times. Art Lansdale used to tell me we needed to take them out because they would eventually grow old and die in place, and I think that'll happen over the next few years. The trees that Kevin described as taking out, there's the first two on the right as you go over there, and there's a couple on the left as you go up, and there's another one mid-block. But as you get up into the north part of the Main Street block, there are fewer trees on the east side or the right side because of the curb cuts that in the building up there that used to be the savings bank. And to the west side up at the top, all of those trees are in good shape. And that's where Kevin and I are talking about thinning it out a little bit, because some merchants, every time they see me, they say, when are we going to cut down the trees? When are we going to cut down the trees? Some, of course, like the trees, especially this time of the year. We did have a nice bloom with them. They're doing pretty well. And I think thinning them out might be the action, and they're putting some more green down low by the sidewalk in new planters. We've had very good luck with the planters out here in this parking lot. Pat O'Brien is very attentive to those planters. We'll get beautiful things in them. I think that's the best approach at this time. To reforest the downtown, after we take a look at this and to reforest it, I have to take the service director's recommendation and be concerned that we will pull all those concrete pavers out of the sidewalk around it. Those tree root balls could be really big by now. We've trimmed the top of the trees, but we haven't trimmed the root systems. And then put planters back on. I think this is the right approach, but if we want to replace them all, I think it's going to be part of a major downtown redo, which we're going to have to do someday. But I don't think it's in the cards for a few more years.
Yeah, that time will come. And when I was downtown really taking a look at where these trees were at and what it was going to, you know, look like with them, those gone, and how do we balance things out, I was, one of the business people came out, well, actually one of the business people came out and said, I do not envy your job because half the people are going to think you're wrong and half the people are going to think you're right. Another one came out and said, please take this tree down. I don't want it here anymore. I go up the street a little bit, and another business person come out and said, please don't take my tree. So it really is it just depends on who you talk to type situation. So, you know, it's unfortunate that they did pass, that they did, you know, didn't make it through the winter. You know, we know that the trees do have some problems for the businesses as far as view and some of the mess that they make. But, you know, as we spoke, you know, I'll put our Main Street up against anybody's in the wintertime when we've got things decorated and lit up. So that's going to, you know, unfortunately that will suffer this upcoming winter. But we'll do the best we can with it and make it something that we can still be proud of.
Kevin, could you describe what you mean when you say planters? Are these sort of the very large pots that will then have flowers in them? Is that the deal?
That's what we're looking at initially. You know, we can do that on a fairly inexpensive type process, and then we'll take a look at do we do something with those areas with some like hanging basket type poles or something of that nature. But to get something in there quickly, because those planters will be able to use other places too. Because each year we usually lose a couple due to you know, them breaking up or getting hit or what have you, so we'll be able to still use those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kevin, You said you weren't going to get pots for every single grate. Do you have a plan for the grates that you plan to leave empty? Because I see them as a trip hazard if we don't put something there that keeps people from...
We'll fill them in. There's already a couple that don't have anything in them. And so we'll fill those in with mulch if we decide to not put something back in there. Because it's, you know, you can kind of, you try to see it in your mind on what it's going to look like once you get those out of there. But until you have them out there, you really aren't going to know for sure. So to say that we're going to put one back in all six places, no, I don't see us doing that. But I do look at us as trying to get that every other type look. And also to make sure that each side of the street is pretty consistent as you go down the street.
One other interesting fact is if some of the trees die, you're going to probably continue to lose those trees because they're just at that age. So that could be a consideration too, going down the road, you're going to lose more of them.
Yep.
Katie, you had a question.
I'm wondering if when you start buying the planters, can we get them to look like the ones that are out in the parking lot? Like the big, angular, just because they're a presence and they could maybe fill in enough space to not miss the tree. And
yep.
It would be nice to
it
have them.
Fill in more of the well. That's,
and it would be nice to have them match or kind of go with what we already have going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the ones that we're getting prices on both those and then the round style that we have in some other cases as well. So.
When do you expect work to start on that?
I would anticipate that will probably start soon. We do have the Parks and Forestry. It's not till the end of the month. They have a banner change out that they have to do, and then. But I would anticipate that we'll probably have somebody on those trees here shortly, because it'll be our crews that are. Our crews will take it down, mm-hmm. and we'll have somebody come in and handle this.
Yeah. So. Next couple of weeks, end of the month.
So maybe after the Maple and Main Art Festival, not before then, right?
We could hold off until after that if you would like us to do that.
Because we don't want to make a mess before that.
Well, yeah, and I think we don't want to disrupt it.
No, because it might be an unexpected things could happen.
Yeah.
And
that would be the first part of June.
Let's look how bad the trees look. There's a couple that are just skeletons.
Yeah, the ones down by the Key Bank are skeletons.
I guess the ones down by Key Bank are kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
They would be behind.
I agree. Yeah.
You take these down at night?
At much higher
expense. You know, as the owner of a couple of sinkholes of trees that I've taken down, I mean, there's a long-term issue here with those root balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are something that... The mayor indicated when we do a larger scale downtown improvement project, we'll make sure that those roots come out of there. Because, yeah, they eventually deteriorate and leave a...
Yeah, they do.
Leave a nice big hole. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's something you want underneath the sidewalk of Main Street.
No, so. I just pumped up some steps that were apparently built on the street.
Okay, I think Mr. Aller's report was informational, right? This doesn't require any action by council. So unless there are any other questions, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Okay. Third thing, speaking of Main Street, is a suggestion that surfaced in the last few days about the park at the corner of Main and Maplewood. And Katie, you, I think, are suggesting some work that we might be able to do there.
Right. We've... In the past, talked about redoing our Main Street, and bump outs have come up, and ways to fit cafe seating. And Kevin has pointed out that our street and our sidewalks, there's just simply not enough room. And so just walking down Main Street, it occurred to me that our corner park, where there's that like a maple leaf bush, if that was flattened out, that could be our cafe seating and benches. And with the downtown Wi-Fi, and it'd be a great spot. You could get a takeout lunch from any of our restaurants, and then if there was tables there, people could hang out and sit and use the Wi-Fi, and it would be kind of a gathering spot. It would also be really helpful for the downtown festivals to have that space, to be able to set up tables there. And because right now I think there's one table with four chairs, I don't even think there's a bench, but it would be a really nice corner gathering spot right near downtown. And all we would have to do is flatten it out, and, I mean, it doesn't require building anything, it just requires taking out some dirt and three flagpoles.
Obviously have to buy some tables, right, and whatever.
And probably do some paving or something.
Right, we'd have to repave where the dirt is, but I think there's even extra tables at Parks and Forestry. Like, it just, it seems like an easy improvement that we wouldn't have to spend a lot of money on.
I just had a quick comment in looking at the site, that there's space enough between that mound and the existing table to probably add a couple tables. So maybe as, to start out, you know, follow what Kevin would think would work there. But I, just visually, you could see how a couple picnic tables could be added right away and somehow secured so they wouldn't disappear. Another thing we talked about at staff last week is you're on Maplewood, and at the Kevin Charles building on the corner, there's some space on that sidewalk right there, and that could be another spot you could look at it doing some things before we'd have to do that. I'm not saying not do that, but that might be, this might be a first step, and then Kevin probably knows that there's probably a way to, when you, to, if it was removed, how much, you know, how many tables, how many seats, whatever could be there if that mound was removed. But that's what I would suggest doing.
Or even all the equipment's up there, all the heavy equipment, just scoop up a pile of dirt and...
You know, there's several issues here. One is that the timing is pretty tight, right? If your intention is to do that for this season, correct?
But right, but after Maple and May, okay. I'm not suggesting doing anything before the art.
Got it, but then...
And then there's like a lull, and it's a nice, it's such a sunny corner, and when you're driving by, if there were tables and chairs there, and as cars drive, oh, look at all those people sitting out. There's stuff going on.
Sure.
Like, you know, crowds bring crowds.
I do agree with Katie. A downtown seating area, as long as the restaurants will have carry-out food, I think that makes a lot of sense. I hate to see flagpoles go, but we'll take a look at that. The law director informs me that any plan to change that is subject to review by the Watkins, because we leased the property from them. They've approved all the plans in the past. So we're going to have probably Pat O'Brien or Kevin put together a little plan so we can take it to the Watkins.
Yeah, you know, Mayor, I was just wondering, unless members of the committee may have a different view, but I think it'd be helpful if in the next couple of weeks you and the staff put together a potential plan, something that's economically feasible but maybe maximizes as
much
of
the price tag on it.
Yeah, and the workflow, so that, you know, we're not getting it done by Labor Day, you know, but by 4th of July maybe. Would you be able to bring that back to council in 2 weeks?
Yes, 7. Yes.
And then perhaps
I could, but I'm not
going to
do it.
Clearly, we want the families to sign off, but maybe it's best to come up with some concepts first, yes? Or do you feel a need to run it by them?
No, I think that's fine.
Yeah. Does that sound good to members of the committee?
Maybe we could include a bike rack in the plan, too.
Katie, why don't you feed your input to these guys offline, and we'll see how much of it they can take under advising. Any other comments about that?
The problem with the southeast corner next to Kevin Charles is what Katie said, it's going to be in the shade there. There's also a stair going down to the basement that I'd hate to have anybody lingering around too long and fall down in there.
Sure.
But there is space there also if we need more tables. There's space.
Whose property is that, Mayor?
I would assume the building owners of J&G's.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the extra width is theirs.
Yeah.
The regular sidewalk's the city.
Yeah, I get it.
Right. It's all one piece of cement right now from the building to the curb.
Okay. Good. Anything else on that one? The next one, I think, is more informational, unless the committee wants to give some direction. And this came out of the legislative breakfast that some of us attended at Lourdes University several weeks ago. And among the things that Dr. Livingston was talking about is sort of a midterm strategy for the university is to create more linkages between the campus and the city of Sylvania, and specifically downtown Sylvania. He had an occasion to walk from the new entranceway to the mid-campus, which is at Brint and McCord, up to downtown Sylvania, and it took him about 12 minutes, and it was a great walk. What he used was sort of the secret way that exists between the fence line at Lourdes up through the St. Joe's campus and onto Main Street. And I think he was very curious about the notion of perhaps formalizing that route a little bit, even to the point, Mary, I think of where he suggested that we walk the site. Since we've now recovered from walking the River Trail last year. And so I think his notion would be to sort of create a little bit more of a visible pathway. He talked a bit about that as a recruitment tool for students from out of town. I think he spoke a little bit either in the formal presentation or after about the fact that anything we do to link the campus to downtown would need to be developed enough, safe enough, lit enough to make the parent of an out-of-town new student feel comfortable that's a good thing to do. So I suggest that, and I wanted to get some input from the committee members to see if there might be any interest in us pursuing Dr. Livingston's offer to walk it and maybe develop it a bit.
So I did walk it last weekend, and I think that just because he's so excited about it, that we should at least investigate to see if it's even possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, between the railroad and, it's the St. Joe's their playground right next to it. So it would be probably, since he brought it up, for someone to at least talk to someone at St. Joe's and do a little bit of follow-up on the railroad and even see, because we might get shut down in about 10 minutes. But I think it deserves a response to David Livingston that, yes, we took your suggestion, we followed up, and this is what we found out. And maybe it's possible, but.
I think that we need to be very careful, though, about St. Joseph. I mean, that somebody's got to be in touch with St. Joseph. I'm not sure that that's our role, if this is the, if this is Livingston's vision. But we certainly need to have conversations with St. Joe's before we start moving too far down the path of marching across the property.
That's a good idea. Maybe if he talked to St. Joe's and we could follow up with the railroad. I felt like we should at least respond.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, let me caution us to not get too far down the road here. I'd like to have us at least explore the possibilities on the Lourdes side of the fence first and kind of see where that takes us, and then that might identify some property owners on the Main Street side that may or may not be the church. I've never walked that, so I don't know. And if the committee feels it's appropriate to take that first step, I think that's all I'm really suggesting at this point.
Or if we can figure out the best place to cross is in the bridge underneath where our river trail was going to go. If somehow it can go up the side of Lourdes over the river and then underneath, because over the railroad.
Yeah. I think we have to be aware of the fact that the concerns that the sisters have still remain, right? That that's the housing for their elder sisters back in that corner of campus. They've always been very concerned about both the security issue and the noise issue there. So, that may be a suggestion, but I think we have to be aware that there's a reality factor with the sisters as well.
Further conversation is appropriate with Dr. Livingston, and then making sure that he knows that we're open to further exploration is good.
I just wanted to add, and reaching out to the railroad was probably the first thing. I did find out a little bit about the same. It is at St. Joseph's, and it actually was a site of an Eagle Scout project a few years ago, and they improved, Eagle Scouts improved the walkway there. But then the first step also would be, is it appropriate to go through St. Joe's because of the kids and the school and everything else? So there's a lot of issues to it, but I think it is prudent just to research it right now and
take a first step with Dr. Livingston. Right? Any objection to that?
I think we need to ask him if he's contacted St. Joe's to talk about it.
Yeah, good point. Okay. The final piece, Mr. Sanford, in 120 seconds or less, can you give us a little bit of an update on what else is going on in your world?
Yes, just a couple of quick updates. First, on SOMO, I wanted to share that we have talked with interested parties. We have talked with developers. We want to, I want to step up a little bit of the promotion piece and how we reach out to other interested parties or developers with more of a presentation. And just to compliment, this doesn't stop us from talking to people that are currently interested. So there'll be something that I think it'd be appropriate to come back to your committee, Mark, to show in the future, included with some updates on some other projects. Next, I just wanted to update you. I think we shared that we were marketing the Maplewood Marketplace. And just to give you a quick update, there is interest in the building. I'm in the process right now of following up. When people expressed interest, we gave them an information packet. Now we're going back and forth on more information. But there are interested parties. And as they review this and I get them more information, then they're making, we'll be making a decision on whether or not to make a bid on the property. Other economic development projects, again, that we want to talk about, and again, will be part of a future presentation to you, are CRAs. I think, and we've talked about those a lot in previous meetings. I think some more promotion of those, where they are, and what it means. I think there's a lot of confusion by people in development and people with properties as to what, how do they benefit from it. We want to help clear that up. The Baptist Church property, which was recently purchased, you know, we want to promote that as a property for development. And then also the Kepfer House, which we have, which we've approved recently, the parking that's going on behind it and potential uses for that going forward. So we have a lot of projects in the works. We just want to step up the promotion of what we have, and then that we'll start here with council first.
Any questions of Bill? Okay, thank you very much. For the record, I was remiss in mentioning at the beginning of the meeting that we have both law director Brining and Chief Rhodes here as well tonight. Anything else for the committee? Okay. It's 7:33 and we're adjourned.